Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Gates and ready to go. Hot Mic with Hannah Withrow underway. The Monday edition has arrived. Outkick.com/watch. Big show planned as always. Always great to see you, Chad, on a Monday. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hello, Chad, hello, ma'am. Like, there's a
Chad waving like
lady,
a politician.
Lady waving out through the window right now.
See, the way the studio set
hello,
up,
audience.
I can't see.
Hello, Hutton. Hello, ma'am.
I can't see outside the door.
Yeah.
So Chad is our director of first impressions in here.
I am. And I really have warmed up to that role. When anyone
Chad
walks
the door
up,
more
I just want to say hello.
You watch the door more than anyone.
Yeah, I want to say hello and talk to them. And
that's right.
Ma'am, you're watching Outkick Hot Mic. Yes, yes. This is the Jonathan Hutton. I think I just saw her mouth that through
I
the
don't
glass.
I think she can see me either.
Is that the Jonathan Hutton that's sitting there? The bearded wonder? And I said, yes, ma'am, you have the right spot.
Yeah, we made it. We made it back.
We 6
and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Dave McGinnis is back on today's show. Coach Mack. Former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, former head coach of Pat Tillman, who died 20 years ago today while serving our country. We will reminisce and honor and hear great stories that Mac will have as we do and honor him each and every year at this time. That's coming up in an hour.
Let's go ahead and say this. April 22nd,
yeah.
Every year on this show will be Pat Tillman Day.
Yeah.
There may not be a national holiday for it, but there will be an Outkick holiday for it here on Hot Mic. Coach Mack has been sending me some great articles written about him, some that he was interviewed in, some that he wasn't. And every time I read it, Hutton, I think to myself, Pat Tillman is one of my favorite all-time Americans. That's the best way I can describe him. One of my favorite Americans all time.
While we have Mack on, he was the head coach. Tillman came into the office to let Dave McGinnis know that he was no longer going to play in the NFL. He was going to serve his country, and he had a front page cover of a newspaper. I'm not sure if it was out of Arizona Republic, or it was a national paper, cut out in his locker of the World Trade Centers and the flag. And that is something that aided him, that he wanted to do and didn't do it initially, and he and his brother both went and served. One of the quotes from Tillman: somewhere inside we hear a voice. It leads us in the direction of the person we wish to become, but it's up to us to whether or not we follow. And so he decided to follow. There's Pat with his brother Kevin. We'll hear more about the legacy and the life of Pat Tillman coming up. Mike Renner's also on the show. NFL draft. Tillman, by the way, a former 7th round pick, playing linebacker, moved to safety. We'll get Renner on the show, and we'll chat about the top of this draft. Tons of offensive players. Maybe setting a record for the most offensive players drafted in a first round. Maybe over the first 2 days combined. Renner always great with his draft analysis. Chad, at the top of this draft, quarterbacks. Caleb Williams going number one. He's going to Chicago. And I try to, at this time of year, not get caught up in the cyclical nature of these stories. Because we had the story over the weekend about Jaden Daniels, and he wasn't happy. His agent certainly wasn't happy with the fact that the Washington Commanders brought all four quarterbacks in on the same day and staggered those visits. And they thought they were going to have a one-on-one with the Commanders, with Adam Peters, their new general manager, Dan Quinn, the new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, the new offensive coordinator. And while they had talks with them, they also had talks with all four that they were considering. And you also have the Drake May decision on, you know, this time last year, everyone's talking about next year's quarterback crop, and it was Caleb Williams and Drake May. And now it's Caleb Williams and then a decision to be made. And the Commanders have made a lot of decisions recently. They've changed ownership. They have a new head coach in Dan Quinn. They have a new general manager in Adam Peters. But the real turnaround will be the new quarterback that they decide to go with. That starts Thursday. The big decision for the Commanders organization moving forward starts Thursday with the number two overall selection. And I still think that despite who I would go with, I would go with Jaden Daniels. I still believe they're going to go with Drake May. I think it's a very tough decision, but I think Drake May will talk his way into that pick. Because behind closed doors, and Chad, while you may be the director of first impressions with the door here, when Drake May walks through the door, he's the director of first impressions. He's the alpha because of the way he comes across versus the perception of which he plays. And I think you've got to go with the version of the guy on the field. I love what Jaden Daniels did. The perception changed for me when he left Arizona State and went to LSU. I was stunned based on the results I saw at Arizona State. And those factor in. But the improvement, the coaching, and the player transformed into a Heisman Trophy winner. Drake May, meanwhile, had an 8-1 team. And we saw the last 2 years at North Carolina, if they didn't fall off a cliff, well, they fell into the rest of the group that went to a different bowl game other than winning your conference. Here's what I'm talking about. This is from Albert Breer back right after the combine. And keep in mind, May has this laid-back, calm, cool, collected approach on the field. I don't mind that one bit. But the perception is he's probably a little introverted behind the scenes, and it's the exact opposite. This is Albert Breer. You know how strong this year's class is at the position. The Caleb Williams might be the most talented prospect, but you've got Jaden Daniels, who's the Heisman winner. He's seen his stock rise like a rocket ship over the past 6 months. There's depth, too, at the position. But no one helped himself more than May, who left an impression with scouts that echoed in the bars and restaurants of Indianapolis. That impression was, well, the antithesis of what they'd expected. The quarterback teams thought they'd get with that voice and laid-back gait. Instead, they got the juice, coming across as competitive and fiery. After someone told me May is more Philip Rivers than Eli Manning or Daniel Jones, a mutual friend of both Rivers and Jones gave me this direct response. He is Philip, said this person. And then later, Jim Denton, agent to both guys, just smiled at the comparison and said, in prompting it, showing exactly who he is, May accomplished what he wanted to accomplish at the combine. I'm adding at the combine. Here is the quote from the agent, or excuse me, from Drake May. That was my goal. I wanted to let people hear me. Even in the interviews, they mentioned, hey, you seem like you're in the zone before the game. You don't really say much. Getting to see that side of me in the locker room, me in meetings, me at practice, it was really what I wanted to accomplish. So hearing that really makes me feel good. And then Breer added, it made teams feel really good too. I also like this about May. I'm not saying going to the combine and accomplishing that is a bad thing. Because if I had one perception of a guy, I want to see the actual player and meet the man that I'm going to make the face of the franchise. But that goes back to why I think Washington will talk his way into being the pick. And if the Jaden Daniels reports are true, that he was unhappy with Washington bringing all four guys in, guess who's going to make the final impression the most memorable? Drake May. About Carolina's team falling off the last 2 years. This is the 8-1 year, Chad. The lessons May took from leading his team through that as the quarterback would go with him. This is last year, where you've got the issues with the wide receiver not being eligible to play. They've got a lot of distraction. And with little regrets, the last year will help him chart his future. Here's Drake May quoting on leading the team last year. That time when you face adversity, and you face adversity numerous different times throughout the year, you just learn from it. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from the different situations. It really was different situations as a leader for me on that team. Coming from my first year, just trying to earn people's respect as a player, being a leader for those guys. I do think back on times where I got the offense together and I tried to get them ready to go. But looking back on it, I wish I would have gotten the whole team. I feel like the impact I had as a guy in that locker room for the entire team would have paid off for us, and it would have paid off for me, paid more dividends than me getting the offense together for meetings. So in those things, I regret. And those are things I'm trying to, in my next step, in my next chapter in life, make sure I get right. That's Drake May. Those are what things you want to hear as a leader of your franchise, right? But Jaden Daniels on the field, Chad, I can't help but think about the short passing game and the accuracy and Drake May missing some layups. And meanwhile, Jaden Daniels hits the home run. And I think Washington, while May can go on and be a superstar by all means, the quarterback that they select is not going into a situation like Bryce Young went into in Carolina because of the weapons on offense in Washington. He's got two legit wide receivers ready to go. The rookie quarterback can have, if not a C.J. Stroud-type performance, you can win and surprise in the division that's always competitive. It's a big moment for them.
It is. This is, to me, an interesting discussion on quarterback wins as a valuation of who they are as a leader and who they are and what they're responsible for on their football team, right, when we're looking at these different guys. Hutton, you bring up a great example with Drake May. We love everything about the guy, certainly all the intangibles. I love that he grew up in a family full of athletes, and he played every sport, and he was a leader in all those sports, and he's very multifaceted when it comes to that. And he's got a nice lineage of family members, including his dad, who was a great quarterback
and it was at, his AAU
at North
coach.
Carolina. Yeah, and so he's got the pedigree, right? There's everything to like about that. The one thing I don't like about him is team-related, and that is they cratered at the end of the last two seasons with him at quarterback. Now, that's also North Carolina and their talent, which has improved under Mac Brown, versus, let's say, LSU and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels didn't really win anything of great significance. He did beat Alabama at one point at home. They won some nice games, but it's not like they were, you know, SEC champions, national champions type good, but he won a Heisman Trophy and lit up the scoreboard too. So there's a ton of value in that. So how much do you put on that? I'm going to talk in a little bit about J.J. McCarthy, the guy who won it all, who did nothing but win while at Michigan. And now suddenly he's the bell of the ball, and he's the one that everyone wants to trade up to try to draft as the fourth quarterback taken. But with Drake May versus Jaden Daniels at number two of the Commanders, I am still so fascinated by this little tidbit that Adam Schefter dropped on the Pat McAfee show, where he said, Jaden Daniels does not want to be with the Commanders. And I think that he's let that known through certain people. And that if that's the case, we'll see how the Commanders handle that. And Hutton, then I think about new ownership, Josh Harris, and the success he's had at other places. And I do think that while, look, this is business, you know, you want to draft the guy you think is best for your organization. And if they say, well, I'm not sure about it, I think the word was he's not sure about Washington as much as some other spots he might want to end up. Well,
He's wondering about his options.
Wondering about his options and, you know, whether or not he's all in with Washington.
Going back to the visit last week.
Right. So it's a business. They could draft him and say, well, we'll convince him. You know, we know that we've got a good structure in place and leadership, and it's a new day. This is not Dan Snyder's Washington franchise. This is not the WFT, the Washington football team.
Right.
These are our Washington Commanders, and we're going to run this thing professionally like a business. Jaden's going to love it. Or he could be the type of guy that says, if he's telling that through back channels or saying that he's unsure about whether or not he wants to be here, and we're close on Drake May.
His agent is for sure.
Yeah.
His agent is liking tweets about certain things against
Washington. So the fact that that's out there, now again, they could just say, screw it, we think he's a better talent, and we'll show him that we're the right place for him, and we'll draft him anyways. I just feel like Josh Harris, as they start to rebuild this Washington image, not just the roster, not just the quarterback and leadership, but the image of the Washington pro football franchise within the NFL, they're trying to rebuild that in the DMV. They're trying to rebuild that in the NFL head office. They're trying to get every other owner to respect them, appreciate them, understand it is a new day for that organization. I don't know that I want to go into that new day on day one with a guy whose agent is liking tweets about the Commanders not being a great spot.
Well, the agent could have ulterior motives here.
True. But again, this is a 10,000-foot view I'm giving you here. If you've got one guy, if you're close on two quarterbacks, I'm going to dumb this down for everyone. If you're close on two quarterbacks, you're down to Jaden Daniels or Drake May, and you're saying to yourself, I'm going to go with one of these two guys, and it's close, I may not want the guy that has any doubts about where we're headed as an organization. If, and I don't know what Drake May's agent or his representation or what he said specifically to the Commanders either. Maybe some similarities between him and Daniels, that organization. But if he's given me no apprehensions about playing there and wanting to be there, I might side with that guy.
Well, and I think a couple of things come to mind from the agent. Here's what Schefter said. Schefter, on Jaden Daniels' visit with Washington, he said this on Get Up. It didn't seem to go over too well with his agent, who sounded off on social media that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. Daniels thought it would be a visit just for him, but Washington essentially opened it up with the process, meaning they staggered when the quarterbacks would arrive, but they had all four arrive on the same day. I also, like, the reason why the agent would have a different view on this, he wants to prepare his client. And if you're going in one-on-one, you can certainly get your message across a certain way. You can kind of control things. Meanwhile, if you have other quarterbacks in the room together, well, maybe you're reacting rather than controlling. And I think May is more of the guy who can speak up and lead that room more so than not. I don't know the perception of Jaden Daniels behind the scenes. I haven't heard anything bad about it coming out of the combine. But just read from Albert Breer when he wrote back in February, the guy that everyone was talking about at the bars where everyone hangs in Indy after the workouts and the interviews, they're all talking about Drake May on the same day that they're likely talking and interviewing and trying to figure out certain things about certain players at the same position group. I think that's important to note. Also important to note, we are in an era where it does seem that more and more players want to dictate where they're going. But I don't have any negative thought on the process of what Washington did here. I actually like it. You want to see who's going to step up. And that, to me, Dan, that fits a kind of a Dan Quinn-type move. Defensive guy, right?
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury, who you bring in. To me, I'm thinking more Jaden Daniels than Drake May. But Drake May is certainly a solid athlete with everything he's done throughout his career in other sports. I don't know. It's just it's an intriguing decision by them to see. And Chad, think about this too. This came out after the visit, right? I would think if you're complaining about it, if your agent is liking this, maybe it's because it didn't go over so well. Maybe it's because, well, you heard that May made the better impression. Maybe J.J. McCarthy did. Who knows? Leadership matters, and I think May behind the scenes can come across as that guy. Daniels can too, but the stories are coming about Drake May. What are you hearing, Jad?
Well, quickly, Davey sends us a message and asks, what if the Commanders draft neither? I don't see that as a strong possibility, but
here's the thing. The possibility could be
they're not trading out of it. They've said that.
They're taking the quarterback. They're taking a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, what if they drafted McCarthy?
McCarthy. Yeah, we throw McCarthy in there too. But if you are Jaden Daniels and you don't want to play for the Commanders, and nothing has been publicly said about that, with that direct statement, you've got New England who may want to trade out of three. Or maybe you want to play in New England. One of those two things. Maybe you want to play with Jerod Mayo. Just, you've got a situation where you can try to dictate how you're going to play and where you're going to play. Haven't seen that publicly, but it's a fascinating move, not just for Washington, but it does impact New England too. Because New England may trade out. The assumption is they're not going to. Maybe they do trade back and they have a Minnesota trade up where Josh McCown has a connection to Drake May, for instance, through coaching. May went to – their quarterback's coach is Josh McCown. McCown's son, Owen, is now a quarterback at UT San Antonio, and his son backed up Drake May in high school.
Hmm.
So there's a connection with Minnesota. Just keep that in mind. If Drake May were to make it past Washington, they could move up to – maybe New England spot at three or Arizona at four. I'm not saying McCown drafts for the Vikings. There's just a solid connection there.
It's I think it's one of those two guys to the Commanders, Daniels or May.
Yeah.
But crazier things have happened. We're
I would go with Daniels.
We're gonna come up with our sort of what we think is gonna happen in that top 10 coming soon, in advance of our draft party this Thursday night here at 6th and Peabody. Come hang out.
The draft watch party with Outkick, myself, Chad, and Clay Travis. He'll be here with us this Thursday. Join us at 8 p.m. Eastern. Outkick.com is where you can stream the show live. You can also join us across the streaming platforms that you see on the screen there, YouTube, X, and Facebook. It's going to be fun. We're going to kick back. We will drink booze while Roger Goodell is booed on Thursday.
Yeah. We'll drink every time a boo happens. Yeah, that'll be our own drinking game.
We will have draft beer while we react to the draft.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
On Thursday. There are certain qualities that stick out on all these guys. For instance, I think J.J. McCarthy is a better leader than Caleb Williams. That showed last year. There are things that you can point to with J.J. McCarthy and say, love this about the guy. I can't point to him and say, top five pick. And that's what we're hearing.
Yeah, so you know how On3 Sports has like that industry-generated average of a recruit? And they'll give you where they're ranked on average of all the different recruiting, the composite. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. The composite ranking. So CBS Sports has done a composite mock draft of all the mock drafts and all the prognostications. And they're coming up with the most likely scenario of where guys are going to be picked. For J.J. McCarthy, they have that spot at number five in the draft. Okay. Number five overall pick. Now, think throughout history, some of those guys that would be top 10 picks in the NFL draft. Now, I've seen comps for J.J. McCarthy that include his college coach, Jim Harbaugh, as a possible comparison for his NFL career, who had a nice career with the Bears and then later with the Colts. I've seen a comparison to him and Alex Smith, who was the number one overall pick with San Francisco, who also had a nice career over the long haul. Hell, I've seen one comparison that says he's as athletic as Joe Burrow and could on the high end be number one pick, a guy who got the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl in Joe Burrow. I'm going to go ahead and get out ahead of this, and I'm either going to look brilliant or like an absolute moron in about 2 or 3 years based on the results of this draft and how this guy looks. I think J.J. McCarthy is more A.J. McCarron than he is Joey Burrow in his NFL career. I think this guy is a backup somewhere. I don't know that he's going to be a long-term starter. But yet we're seeing him now as a top five pick when just this season most people had him, what, second, third round? A.J. McCarron was drafted 164th overall in the fifth round and had a nice career as a longtime backup quarterback in the NFL. A.J. McCarron was a guy who was, and I'm looking at one draft analysis of him, coming out of the draft in 2013. He is praised for his game management and decision-making. That sound like anyone else you've heard of? Praised for his game management and decision-making. Only thing that's left out here is great locker room guy. Great locker room. Rat also. Gym rat. This A.J. McCarron and J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is a terrific leader. I do think that he affected winning in probably more ways than we're willing to give him credit. And Jim Harbaugh has said as much. And when his number was called, he usually delivered. He was also on a national championship winning team that was driven heavily by a great offensive line and a stellar run game and an amazing defense. So I'm not going to crown J.J. McCarthy the next Joe Burrow or even Alex Smith right now because I think he is a byproduct of a great system and a great roster and a great one season where the Michigan Wolverines won the national title. Is he Mac Brown? Or, I'm sorry, not Mac Brown, Mac Jones, who was also a national championship winning quarterback. Mac Jones is setting records offensively at Alabama. Hadn't worked out for him so far in the NFL. Now, that may be because they can't find an offensive coordinator for him in New England. But regardless, I don't think J.J. McCarthy is it. I think the early projections of him, late first round, maybe second round, are way more accurate to his ability than what we're seeing now as a top five pick.
Yeah, no, it's certainly, it's debatable whether or not we would see this hype if they could not go to the college football playoff, and we didn't see them make the run that they did, would we see the hype around J.J. McCarthy right now?
No.
Well, certainly not from the media standpoint. A lot of this, I feel like, is media driven. But on the flip side of it, it's not like the insiders are just making up names. You know, if you want a story to push, you could push the Bo Nix turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Hutton, it's as simple as this. It is.
Bo Nix was a first-round pick in mock drafts at the end of at the end of the college football season, and now he's not.
I think we go too far in this direction, and I think NFL teams are guilty of this. He is a pro-style quarterback who played for a former pro quarterback who is known as a quarterback developer who coached Andrew Luck in a system at Stanford that didn't always produce huge numbers for Andrew Luck. But Andrew Luck was one of the best prospects to ever enter the NFL draft.
He was the second coming.
Yes. And that's who he coached. That's what he is. So I think NFL scouts see that and say, boy, he knows a lot of the terminology. He knows how to go through a progression. We like that about him. And maybe you discredit some guys who didn't play in what we would see as a pro-style offense, yeah. Right? Whoever that may be. Maybe it is a Bo Nix or whoever. Whoever you want to look at and say, well, they're not as pro-ready as we like. I think J.J. McCarthy gets the benefit of the doubt on that. Because of where he played, who he played for, and the system he was in.
Well, see,
and the amount of games he won and winning a national title.
This is how I'm judging the J.J. McCarthy debate. If you love the guy, draft him in the first round, fine. You know, like, we've seen quarterbacks get drafted in the first round that no one thought would be there, or no one thought would be drafted where they were, and they turn out to be storylines of, can you believe, 5 years later, can you believe this team passed on Patrick Mahomes? Can you believe that no one wanted to draft now two-time NFL MVP Lamar Jackson until Baltimore traded up into the first round and got him at 32? But I'm not trading up into the top five and paying the price. We've got the New York Giants who are in the mix for trading up to four and drafting him from the Arizona Cardinals selection. We know Minnesota is connected to him and Drake May. You have the Raiders. You have Raiders and Jaden Daniels make a lot of sense too, by the way. Raiders with a quarterback needs. There are others. Broncos, who today made a trade, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Zach
Wilson, yeah, now
so,
a Bronco.
So you're still in quarterback needs in Denver.
You would think.
Point being, there are quarterback needy teams that would be needing to trade up in order to draft him.
Yeah.
And are you going to pay a price tag that includes future first-round picks, picks this year, and then you're flip-flopping your pick this year too? Minnesota has two first-round picks that they can play around with. Not everybody has that luxury. But specifically Denver. You know, Denver's being mocked where they're connected to him, Chad. Denver traded away a total combined three first-round picks and three second-round picks in order to acquire Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. One's not there. And they actually have a first-round pick this year. And in some of the mocks and some of the forecasting, media members and others have the Denver Broncos trading away more future first-round picks for J.J. McCarthy so they can get up high enough to get him. I just don't see that type of player. If you love him and he falls to you, draft him. But I'm not giving up what is the future of the franchise total if I'm a bad football team and thinking, well, this is plug and play. We're one player away. It's always the quarterback draft and then the rest of the draft. But I'm not trading away the rest of the draft to go get this guy.
No. And also, this is just me personally. I believe Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix could be as successful as J.J. McCarthy with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. If you gave me the pick of those three, I'm probably going in order, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and then J.J. McCarthy, as to who I want to throw passes to Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. You're going to get those guys. You got those guys sitting where you are, not giving up the farm, not giving up all those picks and everything you got to give up.
What we don't know is the behind-the-scenes discussions. Does he have a photographic memory where he's just rattling off different offensive calls?
Yeah. We don't know how they do in the interviews.
The Gruden quarterback camp stuff.
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know everything they know on that. I'm telling you, watching the guys play in college, My opinion is that J.J. McCarthy is A.J. McCarron, and Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix would be better for the Vikings and Justin Jefferson than J.J. McCarthy, and you don't have to give up anything to draft either one of those quarterbacks in the first round if you so desire. That's what I believe about this guy right now. J.J. McCarthy may make me look like an idiot wherever he goes, and he may be Joe Burrow. I don't see it.
Yeah,
I don't see it in what I've seen at Michigan. I don't understand the love for him. I don't know how CBS's composite draft has him at number 5 overall. But Hutton, that's where all reports are heading for him, is that he's going to be a top 5 pick. And it blows my mind.
Here's Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL executive, who is trying to explain. I don't know if he'll do this well. Trying to explain why teams love J.J. McCarthy so much. For me, I've been talking about him for months. So this whole idea that he's rising, that has not been the case for me. I think he's been there. When you look at a quarterback, he's 6'2", 219. He started 28 games. He won 27 of them, 49 career touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards rushing. And he has pushed back the idea that J.J. McCarthy was not asked to do enough at Michigan. Another quote. If you go back a couple of years, they're playing Illinois at home. Really cold. Illinois had a good defense that year. He made the plays in the fourth quarter between a run. There was a pass interference to go get a makeable field goal. Alabama brought them back one time after another. In those high leverage moments, he played well. And then if you run the searches in true media, where he's going down in distance, 3rd and 7 or longer this year, he's been the best QBR of any quarterback. He's probably not facing or throwing the football that much because they were really good. They were busted, blowing teams out. Just saying the opportunities there.
Yeah, I mean, they could run on 3rd and 7 and pick it up a lot of times.
I'm really hard-pressed to understand what he doesn't have. He's a great person. He's a great leader. I think he's a way better quarterback right now, hear this name, than Daniel Jones. And that's where the Giants are connected to McCarthy. This was, how long ago was these quotes? This was late last month, when he was making these quotes about J.J. McCarthy. And now the Giants are linked to them. Chad, I'm with you. No doubt he's a great leader. I think he's a better leader than Caleb Williams. We could see that. He was navigating 6 games this past year where they go unbeaten without the head coach on the sideline. Tons of distraction. You lose one game, it's not your fault, J.J., because of everything that's going on. You find out that your coach is suspended as you're flying to face on the road Penn State. What do? You go win the game and you don't cry post-game like Sharon Moore did on national TV. You go win the game and you step up and you go beat Maryland as you're looking ahead to Ohio State. You win that game too. And then, oh, by the way, you go into the college football playoff as well. I mean, connected to the whole Connor Stallions thing or not, I've said no. There's nothing to point to the players. But regardless of that, he stepped up and I would be willing to bet the team looks at him more than they looked at Blake Corum in those moments.
Look, I feel way better about J.J. McCarthy, everything off the field, than, let's say, Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Who is the consensus number one overall pick and a better talent. And I believe way more talented than J.J. McCarthy. But J.J. McCarthy, in my mind, has not advanced past great option late in the first round for a really good team that's got an aging quarterback to be a backup for a year or two. And then take over and be a great leader for a great organization that's already good. I don't see where he's advanced from that to franchise savior of a top 5 pick for a team that's drafting in the top 5.
Oh, let me also say franchise saver, job saver for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. If the reports that they're looking to move up to go get McCarthy, why would you not want to move up in this scenario if you're moving up to 4 and go get Marvin Harrison Jr.? Have you seen their depth chart at wide receiver? Go get your pick of the wide receivers right now. They have Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton, and Wandell Robinson. Those are their starting wide receivers currently for Daniel Jones without Saquon Barkley.
The answer is they just must really hate Daniel Jones if that were to be the move for
Drew
them to go
up
and get J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, and then Danny DeVito's still there, Chad.
Oh, Danny DeVito or Tommy DeVito? Danny would be
Tommy,
great.
Sorry.
Yeah, Danny, his role in Twins.
Danny DeVito, better agent than Tommy DeVito.
Danny DeVito would have a hard time seeing over his line. Danny DeVito is 4'10", so that'd be difficult. I mean, everything would be like a lob pass because he's throwing way up high to get over his offensive line.
But, screw that. We don't need talent here.
No.
We do top-end talent. Trade up, we're going to go bring J.J. McCarthy in and give him J. Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton, and Wandell Robinson.
Now, if we're just talking about on Earth, Danny DeVito, way more talented than Tommy DeVito. Anyone can watch Frank Reynolds on It's Always Sunny and know that he's way more talented than Tommy DeVito.
What do you think Danny DeVito would charge the pizza spot?
Do you think that Danny DeVito's agent also wears a fedora like Sean Stilato? Sean Stilato? I could see his agent being very, very Italian, much like Sean Stilato also.
I mean, he...
Danny DeVito feels like a guy...
Do you think he's wearing the... he's going into the Italian... the American Hall of Fame for Italians or whatever he entered like that same week?
Danny DeVito feels like a guy who grew up connected. Right? Like, not in the mob,
he's a
not
made.
Like, no one in his family was made. But yet he knew the guy that he went to school with that he could call his dad if he was ever in any trouble. And it would be handled quickly. That's who Danny DeVito is.
Jet, the three receivers at the top of this draft, I think all, unlike the quarterbacks, I think all three are going to be great. Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm most certain. It's really the only player I'm most certain about and willing to risk future picks to go up and draft. Malik Nabers, yes. Roma Dunze, yes.
There's nothing not to like about those three receivers. I've yet to see.
Nabers,
like, every think piece has someone poking holes in players.
I haven't
seen anything legitimate about those three guys.
Malik Nabers, an explosive play waiting to happen. Roma Dunze can run all the different routes perfect in that. And
he's big. We interviewed him in Vegas, and he's listed at 6'3".
Yeah.
I think 215. But I feel like he felt bigger than that when he was sitting down next to us.
Yeah, he did. And then you have Marvin Harrison Jr., who's the total. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't need to work out, so he didn't. He didn't do the combine or the pro day. No need. Don't have to do anything like that. Maybe they have the confidence of Tyreek Hill.
He said, I'm good, is what he said about pro day anywhere or combine. I'm good. I'm set. Me, Marvin Harrison Jr., ready to go.
So, Tyreek Hill, he's on the Million Dollars Worth Game podcast. That he mentioned and admitted that Mike McDaniel called him out after a Chiefs matchup where Tyreek Hill was quote unquote manhandling him. And here's the quote for you, Legarius Sneed like slams Tyreek Hill in this game. In the playoff loss. The play against Sneed. The Chiefs. Everybody has seen this play against the Chiefs. When this MF-er slammed me to the floor, he, talking about Mike McDaniel, called me out. He's like, Reek, bro, you're supposed to be the effing best player in the effing league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that? We pay you all this effing money? For what? And now Hill explains, for me, I love this. I'm going to take that shit to heart. I'm going to be better from it. That'll never happen again in my life. You feel me? If an MF-er cannot hold me accountable, I feel like I'm not going to be able to get better. Like, obviously, the coaches can bypass that and just be like, he'll get better from it. But if he's not saying anything, like the other guys in the locker room, they're going to look at it as, if Reek can get away with it, I can get away with it. And that's not getting the team better. That from Tyreek Hill, who also went on to say that he could put up 175 yards receiving two touchdowns against Deion in his prime.
That is amazing. From a guy of his caliber, though, to want coaching like that, and those words also to him, was an incredible
comeback. How about Mike McDaniel stepping up in that?
And I think it's one thing to say, hey, I want to be coached hard, right? This is what I want. I came here to be coached hard, and I want you to hold me accountable, and I love being coached and all that. But when push comes to shove, when you hear those words – out of another man's mouth, and they're saying that to you.
And after an embarrassing moment.
And in a moment where you've been beaten, and you were embarrassed, you were on the ground defeated in that moment, to still want that coaching and to still be fully okay with being told that, those are two very different things. I think it's easy to say, I want to be coached hard, I'm coachable, treat me like you would an undrafted free agent that's probably not going to make the team, and I want to be coached that way. Another thing to remember those words said to you that Hutton just said, recount them in a podcast interview and love it. Love it and want more of it from a coach, which makes me love that.
Chad, I'm going to play this for you.
Okay.
Here's Legarius Sneed going at it with Tyreek Hill.
He's getting taken to the ground. Yep.
Yeah, they just get
he's pumping his chest. Yeah. Snead is afterward.
It was that type of game for Miami in the cold. They wanted nothing to do with the cold weather.
It's incredible.
That day in Kansas City.
Incredible.
More headlines when we return, including, Scottie Scheffler just dominating. There's a new wager that we could all make on Scheffler. We have to get creative with this now because no one's actually going to bet on anyone else to win tournaments.
Nor should you.
I'm right there with you. And Michael Porter Jr. had quite the NBA playoff debut for Denver, despite the just sad week that was for his family. That's straight ahead.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hot Mike with Hunter Withrow, outkick.com/watch is where you can stream the show live. It is draft week. NFL draft week has arrived. Got you covered on Thursday. This Thursday, the draft watch party. You can join us and Clay. We'll be live, streaming live and reacting to the NFL draft at, right here at 6 the Peabody. 8 p.m. Eastern is when we will start things off. We will, second screen experience is what I've been describing it as, Chad. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
People, you're going to watch the draft however you watch the draft.
Yeah.
Pull out your phone, laptop, whatever, and join us.
Can you comment on X?
You can comment on YouTube. We're going to be live on YouTube, as I understand it.
Live on YouTube, so you can comment?
That's the only way we can.
I'll be reading the comments. I'll peruse those.
Yeah, you can interact
throughout.
On the chat.
Yeah.
With us, and we'll...
YouTube and X, you can interact. Yeah. That's the best way to have a second screen experience. Think of it this way. You're going to be watching the draft, right? And if you're home alone or just with a few friends, you can also just watch with us. We're going to be there for you also. Yeah. We're going to be there on your device, on your laptop, on your phone, and you can listen and chat with us as we watch the draft as well. Let's not kid ourselves. That's what everyone's doing on Thursday night. Yeah. You're going to be somewhere watching a draft. So you can watch virtually with us in this draft show, or... you can come down to 6th and Peabody and hang out grab some drinks hang out with us.
Drink drafts while we draft.
Yeah.
While we draft. Chad, I would also say, who knows what we end up discussing?
It may not just be draft.
A car ride or a flight somewhere with Clay is always entertaining.
We discussed the works of Danny DeVito in segment one when talking about the Giants quarterback.
We did.
So who knows where it's going to go?
Yeah. Well, that's fair. Chad, the odds are out on Scottie Scheffler. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
But it's not just to win the next tournament. They're at Superbook Sports, an odds maker, put this out. It's now just to win the Grand Slam. If you're just going to win the Grand Slam and all the majors. He has 3 wins in 9 events. He has 8 top 10 finishes in those 9. He's won back-to-back this year already. Our Palmer Invitational, he's got the Players' Championship, won those back-to-back. Then he finished second place. Then, of course, he's won the Masters again, his second green jacket in 3 years. He's finished second in the PGA before, second in the U.S. Open a couple of years ago. These types of odds to win the Grand Slam this year, 80 to 1. 80 to 1. $100 wins you 8 grand. That's it for him to win the Grand Slam. And only Tiger Woods would produce those types of odds right now, according to odds makers. That would, in his prime, I'm saying.
Yeah. So good luck. I think that says as much about Scottie Scheffler as it does his competition in PGA right now.
But his consistency. I mean, these guys are capable of winning a tournament, but not what he's doing, you know?
No, but I just, man, the guys who I would deem alphas have all left for LIV Tour. Now, I know they get back in the majors.
In these majors,
also, but they're not. You're right. They're not competing the same way as they were on PGA Tour at LIV events. Let's be honest about it. I feel like it has taken a toll on them when they get to the majors. Brooks Koepka was an exception. There's been others, too, where he won a major last year. But those guys just aren't exactly the same when they get back for PGA majors. And
the guys who haven't won, Chad, they crumble just like they did at Augusta.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler seems to be the only alpha left in the PGA Tour that's regularly on tour and good enough to just go about his business and murder the field.
Oh, man, it's just the calm approach, but like the assassin way, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't even sneak up behind you. He's just right there. Like, you can do whatever you want to, but you're done.
I mean, I can't imagine a more boring book than someone writing a biography of Scottie Scheffler.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you want to put me to sleep immediately?
I'd say the same thing about Kirk Cousins back a couple years ago.
But that is, like, Kirk Cousins, though, has like a big personality and he's goofy and funny.
You like that?
Yeah. I mean, he's fun. This is a compliment. Like, the dude is just so straight-laced, milk.
Was he at a bar, though, in Dallas right after the win?
Yeah, he probably had like a half a Miller Lite and went home.
A glass of milk?
Afterward. A warm milk to go to bed afterward so he could be in his bed and tucked in.
Maybe so.
By 10:30. And that's a compliment to Scottie Scheffler. He is the dude you want your daughter marrying, is Scottie Scheffler. And the bank account would be nice. That type of financial protection would also be great.
$12 million already
this year. Just as a dude, he's terrific. So and boring in all the right ways. That's Scottie Scheffler, and he's destroying the field on PGA right now because there's a lack of great players/alphas. All the good players I hear about are, 24-year-old Nordic dudes that really haven't won anything yet.
With four different pronunciations.
And I feel like we could go back 20 years, and I bet we've talked about 24-year-old Nordic dudes from Denmark or Sweden or somewhere, Norway, that are going to dominate the PGA Tour that never do.
Yeah. Michael Porter Jr., let me give props to him, man, because what a terrible week for his family. His two brothers, Jonte Porter, banned for life from the NBA. And days after that, his other brother, Coben, I believe is how you say the name, sent to prison for 6 years for killing a woman, driving under the influence, injured another passenger. And Michael Porter Jr. went and testified on behalf of his brother on Friday, then played for the Denver Nuggets on Saturday, putting up 19-8. And then, I mean, unlike many athletes today, spoke to the media afterwards.
How were you able to compartmentalize and play the way you did tonight, given what you've gone through, your family?
I think definitely tried to compartmentalize, some bad and sad stuff happened to a couple of my brothers, but I got, 16 more brothers in here, so I knew I had to be here for them and come in here and do my job and try to prepare to do it at a high level.
Can you speak to how the team has rallied around you during all this?
Yeah, I mean, each one of them texted me separately and just told me they got my back. If I need anything, they got me. A lot of people have been reaching out, friends, family, so to have these guys understand, why I missed practice yesterday and just have my back has been big for me.
Yeah, and Coach said that basketball is going to be a distraction for you two being out there and just focusing on the game can allow you to put all other stuff aside for a bit.
I mean, I think we're human, so we carry our emotions and the things that go on off of the court onto the court. But, I'm mentally tough. I've been through a lot through, my whole career. So, it was just another one of those things that I had to try to play through.
What's the story of the Coast Guard?
That was a gift. We all got different quotes. I think AG, or was it Pope and Pope and Jamal got us some all different quotes. So I got to go hang that up at the house.
I mean, you shouldn't have to apologize for missing practice for that. But
no,
I can't imagine the stress level and just the sadness. Sadness.
Well,
with everything involved.
It's when it rains, it pours. But when you think about that with your two brothers in such short succession with things to that level happening, it's difficult. And it's obviously no fault of Michael Porter Jr., who was able to block that out and go out and play a good game. But that's a tough
sometimes,
time.
Sometimes
you got
athletes,
one brother going to prison. You got another brother who may end up going to jail or something happening to him that is now the poster boy for bad NBA betting behavior. Games are fixed. That you put the, you get the sign up that says do not allow this person in here because they did something. I mean, he is the wanted poster up in the NBA office now for, we need no more of this.
I was going to say.
And it's Jonte Porter.
He's in the same sentence now with the NBA referees, right?
Yeah.
Tim Donaghy. Other than, is it Steve Jaffe?
Yes.
Other than him, I don't know of another name.
The slick back hair.
Another another NBA referee than Tim Donaghy. You?
I'm sure if I saw them, I would recognize them, but no, not by name. Not by name, no.
You know, think about the NFL refs that we know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you see them. And then there's TV Teddy in college basketball. That's really it for me on that, too. And growing up, I knew
Davey
more
throws
umpires.
Out Scott Foster.
Okay.
Do you know Scott Foster? That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, I could probably pick Scott Foster out if you
flashed a photo of Scott Foster, I'd probably be like, "Oh yeah, that's Scott Foster," but it's not a name that pops.
Cormani McClain, Chad, does his name pop to you?
Yes, it does.
Cormani McClain,
it does indeed.
He is throwing
pops
shade
for Deion Sanders now.
Throwing shade at Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes, announcing last week that he's entering the transfer portal, and here's why.
Changed the narrative of everyone's thinking on my name. Be a part of a real and a great program that's going to impact me at my best ability. And yeah, ready to get to a new place and get to work. Yeah, I feel like I just don't want to play for the Clips. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players.
Don't want to play for Clips. I want to be involved with a great program that's going to develop players. How about that? Now, that is not something that you're going to see circulated all that much. Because guess who's benefiting from the clicks? The media.
Yeah.
The coverage. Because we're giving Deion and Colorado a ton of clicks, a ton of coverage, because college football fans tuned in. What was it, 9 million peaked in the Colorado, who were they playing? Colorado State?
Colorado State. It started at 9:30 Central Time.
And it peaked at like 1 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
With 9 million people. That's unheard of.
I watched that video.
That's clicks.
I watched that video, though, and I don't want Cormani McClain playing on my team. That's my initial response.
Because of clicks?
You were there, right? I think you ate it up while you were at Colorado, and now you bolt and you want to throw shade at it. I just don't like anything about it. I don't disagree with him.
He's the only one talking about it, to my knowledge, though, right?
Yeah, I don't disagree with him. And like some might say, yeah, I mean, I like this guy because he's about substance.
Right.
And I don't like Deion Sanders because he's not about substance. He's about, you know, having Lil Wayne lead the team out with the big Buffalo, Ralphie, the Buffalo, leading the way in front of them. He was there, though. I don't get into this. Dude leaves one place and then wants to immediately badmouth the place he was at.
Well, but Deion was badmouthing the players he inherited. You know, you've got to be able to take it. I mean, right? And it's, I mean, in this day, I know what you're saying.
But Deion,
but
he,
no
went, to, he went to play for Deion. Like, he made the decision.
He did, and surprised
those guys
everyone.
At Colorado did not make a decision to go play for Deion Sanders.
To play alongside Travis Hunter.
They made a decision to go play football at Colorado, and Colorado was bad, and they didn't win any games. And then Deion Sanders got there, and Deion Sanders said, well, these guys aren't good enough for my program.
And
to me, that's different than a guy who willingly signs up for the bling and Deion Sanders, and I'm going there because this dude sold me on a plan. And then leaves and says, I want to go somewhere that's not about the clicks.
Okay.
That's about player development.
Deion was insinuating publicly that that McClain wasn't about the effort and the work. And by the way, last year, Deion ripped the focus, right? And the buy-in from his locker room. But specifically, last September, he said about McClain, he's got to prepare. Study, prepare, be on time for meetings, show up to the darn meetings. Understand what we're doing as a scheme, want to play this game, desire to play this game, desire to be the best in this game, at practice, in the film room, and in your own free time. He ended up starting 9 games for Colorado. But when the media asked Deion about why the playing time was down, why the questions were beginning to come up about his standing on the team, that's what Deion said. So that's something to note. There was friction last September.
I'm going to gobble up every single headline about Colorado this offseason. simply because I don't believe it. I don't believe it's going to work. I'm of that opinion now. Maybe it does, but I don't think this every year roster turnover completely works in football. It could work in basketball. You can completely flip your roster in 1 year if you're good about implementing some chemistry and culture in an offseason and bring in five guys to play on the floor together and be really good from 1 year to the next. I don't know that this constant churn is going to work without a good pipeline of high school recruiting also to build that base up while you're bringing in a lot of guys in the transfer portal.
We need to later the
but
show.
I'm going to watch. I mean, to the media, you know, everything we're talking about, like clicks and it being about that, well better believe I'm going to watch, even though I don't believe it's going to work.
I want to see what Deion does after Shadur and Travis leave.
I mean, he'll probably go to a different profession.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to stick around and not coach his kids.
Or he will. He was doing that without his kids playing on, flag football and all that stuff. But it's different. This is just, he was doing that too at the HBCU.
He's going to be like me coaching my daughter's softball team. The moment she doesn't like softball anymore, I sure as hell am not going to coach everyone else's kids and stick around and coach that softball team.
Would you coach softball on a scooter?
That's how Deion is using the University of Colorado.
Would you have your toes amputated and still coach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, you are Deion.
That's how dedicated I am right now. But the moment my daughter's not on the team or decides I'm going to go be in drama club and not play softball, I'm not coming back to coach that team.
Mike Renner will join us
just
later
like
in the
Deion.
Show.
We'll Deion and I are the same guy, draft. Is what I'm saying. Basically the same guy.
Primetime Withrow.
Yeah.
Primetime Chad Withrow.
Minus the chains.
None of us were like Pat Tillman.
No.
And we remember an American hero. 20 years ago today, Pat Tillman died while serving our country. No one I personally know or have come across knew the man better than Dave McGinnis and his former coach and his former scout and friend. He joins us next here on Hot Mike.